Osho, from death to deathlessness, answers to the seekers on the path, given at Rajneeshpuram, Oregon, USA. Discourse number 4.
Bhagwan, I seem to have heard you say that people are attracted to war because it is exciting, whereas peace is boring. In my own experience, I seem to enjoy indulging my personal dramas and traumas. And when I'm not indulging them, life is a bit flat. Is it possible to be attracted to peace? Will the new humanity find peace rather than war exciting?
It has never happened. Man has never found peace exciting. It seems that the way man is, war will remain certainly exciting, because peace is not the real peace that you know. It is the peace of a symmetry, not the peace of this mandir. No war is going on. Everything is silent. Do you think it is flat? The new man will know this peace 24 hours round the clock, waking or sleeping. And the peace that is not only absence of war, but a positive flowering within you, a positive wordless sound within you, is totally different. Up to now, man has known peace, but that peace was only preparation for war. History can be divided into two parts: people when they are fighting, and people when they have exhausted, tired, ruined, again from the scratch, preparing for another war. War or preparation for war, these are the only two periods human history has known up to now. Peace has never been known, because peace is something which the individual has to create. War is something with the crowd, the nation, the politician, the ideologies, the churches, they create. Peace, each individual has to create. It will be far more better to say that he has to discover it, because it is not to be created, it is already there inside you. But you are so much surrounded by the mind and its turmoil, you never come to hear the still small voice within you. And if you cannot hear even the still small voice within you, how you can taste peace which is beyond that voice? Where you simply exist, there is no thought in the mind, no emotion in the heart. In that nothingness, you come to know for the first time the taste of peace. I am saying it from my own experience. 32 years I have been in that peace, and I have not found it for a single moment flat. It is always opening new doors, new dimensions, new depths. When for the first time you know your inner peace, you think this is the end. Soon you have to change, because the peace goes on growing. And a day comes, you understand that there is no end. The peace is going to become as vast as the universe itself. And the universe has no limits. You must be feeling flat when you are not passing through some drama or trauma, because in your life what you have got, if there is nothing going on, a fight, a love affair, a marriage, a divorce, either you are fighting for an election or you are going bankrupt, if all these things are not going around you, naturally you feel flat. It seems nothing is happening. Time has stopped. You feel dead. It is a well-established fact that whenever there is war in the world, wherever it is, people look more happy, excited. They wake up early in the morning, waiting for the newspaper to come. What is happening? What has happened last night? They cannot wait. They want to know it immediately. People are carrying their transistors glued to their ears, not to miss a single information. Life is no more flat. There is excitement. Because every moment something new is happening, victory or defeat, but something is happening. You can look forward for some news. When there is no war, then tomorrow's newspaper will be carrying exactly today's news. I used to live in a place just in front of my house. Lived the family of a doctor. The doctor was thought to be a little crazy. Still, he was a good doctor. People used to come to him, knowing perfectly well that he is a little crazy. But as far as his profession was concerned, he was perfectly sane. He used to come every day early morning to my house to read all the newspapers that were there available, magazines. He will come and ask for the latest newspaper. One day I gave him a newspaper 1 year old of the same date, and he enjoyed it. He loved it. He said he never had expected these things to happen because they don't seem to be connected with yesterday's newspaper. I said, now I know. Every day you will be excited. He said, but how you did it? I said, this newspaper is 1 year old. He said, my God, if reading old newspapers makes you so excited, why you have been keeping it a secret from me? Sometimes I used to wonder why you go on collecting old newspapers, magazines. Now I know. Now I don't care whether today's newspaper comes or not. There are so many piled up in your room. And I can pull out from anywhere and it will be exciting. People are excited with something that is unexpected. Politicians roll over you because they provide excitement. Wars have been condemned for centuries. Nobody listens because everybody knows that a long peace will be so flat, people will start committing suicide. There is nothing happening. Just think of 1 year, no news happens. You just go on waiting and waiting and waiting. Then finally you decide to create a news yourself. You commit suicide or you murder somebody. Something has to be done to break this peace. In one of the dramas of an existentialist philosopher, a man is brought before the court. Because he has killed a stranger whom he had never known before. He was not even seen the man. The man was sitting on the beach looking at the sea, and this fellow came from the behind with a big dagger and pushed it into his back. He had not seen the man before, he had not seen the man even while he was murdering. What could be the cause? Because that man was absolutely innocent. The man was, of course, caught and presented before a court. The judge was also puzzled. He inquired few witnesses, "Is this man mad?" They said, "No. In our neighborhood, this is the most rational and sane man." The judge was trying to find out something in his past which can make some sense of his act which he has done. One man said that, "I remember one thing, that when his mother died, it was Sunday morning, and we both were sitting in the garden, and he said, 'I knew that old bitch is going to spoil some of my beautiful days. Now, could not she have died on Friday or Tuesday or Monday? Why on Sunday? I was ready to go boating in the lake and I have to cancel all my program. The neighbor said, that day I thought this man is strange. The mother dies and he says that woman died purposely on Sunday. She was always making efforts to spoil all my happiness, even in death. She continued her old habit. Another witness said that when all the proceedings for the funeral were over, this man immediately rushed towards the house of his girlfriend and they went to see a movie. Morning the mother dies, evening he is in a movie with his girlfriend. A third witness says that is nothing, because after the movie he was drinking and dancing. His behavior has always been a little bizarre. The magistrate asked the man himself, do you have any explanation for these things? He said, for everything that I have done, I have explanations. My mother dies Sunday morning. My Sunday, my program to go to the lake is spoiled. Is it wrong to say it clearly rather than repress it? And anyway, whether I say it or not, my mother is dead, so what difference does it make? And certainly I was angry, she could have died. There are 7 days in the week. Why choose Sunday especially? And she knew. Because in the night I had told her, tomorrow morning I am going to the lake. And I am absolutely certain she died on purpose. Because she was the only one who knew that I am going to the lake in the morning. And as I was preparing to leave, she died. You think I have to give explanation or that dead woman has to give an explanation? The magistrate said, okay, about that nothing can be done. Your mother is dead, she cannot be asked. It may have been just a coincidence. But does it look right to you that in the morning your mother dies and in the evening you go to the movie and in the night you are found in a nightclub drinking, dancing? Do you think it looks right. He said, absolutely right, because now whenever I go to the movie, it will be after my mother's death. Do you mean for my whole life? Now I cannot go to the movie? Whenever I go to the nightclub and drink and dance, it will be after my mother's death. Do you want me to commit suicide because now I cannot enjoy anything? It is after my mother's death. And what difference does it make with whether it was 10 hours before, or 10 days before, or 10 years before? There was great silence in the court. The man looked rational. What he was saying was meaningful. Now everything I am going to do is going to be after my mother's death. What do you want me to do? Should I also die with my mother? Because there is no point in living now anymore. I will be a criminal if I live, if I laugh. Somebody will say, what? You are laughing and your mother is dead? And the time factor, can you tell me what is the demarcation line? 10 hours, 12 hours, 10 days, 12 days, 10 years, 12 years? And what is the criterion to decide that now it is all right to dance and drink, let my mother be dead? I thought that if I have to live, I have to accept the fact that my mother is dead. And then there is no point in wasting time. And moreover, I had purchased those 2 tickets already. Wasting those 2 tickets over a dead person, I don't think is sane. The magistrate said, drop all these things. You just tell me exactly why you killed that man on the sea beach. You had never known him. He had never done any harm to you. You had not even aware whom you are killing. The man said, it is very simple. My life was going very flat. I used to think that my mother, once she is gone, there will be peace. But once she had gone, everything became flat. I will come drunk in the middle of the night and nobody is there to nag me and teach me what time to come and what to do and what not to do. Life became flat and I wanted some excitement. Does it matter whom I kill? And I got it. He said, when I pushed the dagger into the man's back and a fountain of blood came out, after years, I was excited. What is happening? Something new. I have never seen a fountain coming out of a man's back. Red blood. Yes, I do not know who the man was. I have no enmity with him. I have not killed him for any reason except for my own excitement. And I got it. And since then life has been very exciting. I have been escaping and the police has been chasing, and finally I was caught, then I was jailed, and things started moving. And now I am standing in the court, listening to all these idiots who are my neighbors, and what they are saying gives me great joy to contradict it. And you are sitting there looking so silly, and these people are saying, "Your Honor," it is hilarious. I have never enjoyed life so much. And I will be excited tremendously. I am already waiting for the judgment, whether I am released, whether I am sent to a mental hospital, or I am sentenced to death, or 20 years imprisonment. And there are so many alternatives in my mind. This man is you. People are doing all kinds of things just to feel excited. And when the whole world becomes dull, it starts feeling stale, flat, some politician comes as a savior to you, and Adolf Hitler, many people in the world are waiting for an Adolf Hitler. Life is becoming flat. That man made 5 years from 40 to 45 of tremendous excitement. I don't think there has been ever such a long period full of excitement for the whole world. Adolf Hitler should be given as many Nobel Prizes as possible for making the whole world alive, thriving, their hearts beating faster. They are still waiting. I had never conceived it. I received a letter from the Nazi American Party. Can you think? In America, there is a Nazi Party. And I got the letter from the president of the party. He was very angry because he said, "You have been continuously speaking against Adolf Hitler. It hurts our religious feelings." Even I was excited. This is really great. Religious feelings. And later on his letter said, "Perhaps you do not know that he was the reincarnation of the Old Testament prophet Elijah. And soon he will come to deliver humanity from all misery and suffering." I can understand this man, his party. Their lives have become flat. They are ready even to make Adolf Hitler a religious prophet. They are ready to do anything, but excitement is needed. After each 10 or 15 years, the flatness becomes so thick in everybody's mind. That a war becomes a certainty. Any excuse will do. Years have passed after the Second World War. This is the longest period. The credit does not go to you. The credit goes to the nuclear weapons. Because both the parties, Soviet Union and America, which are capable to fight, are afraid. They know perfectly well nobody is going to win. And everybody is going to be finished forever. Whole life on the earth is going to disappear. It does not matter who starts the war. The other party will be only 10 minutes late. So anybody can start, it does not matter. The other party will be only 10 minutes late. And in 10 minutes, you cannot be victorious. You can destroy a few cities, but you cannot be victorious. Your missiles are aiming at Moscow. Their missiles are aiming at New York, Washington, San Francisco. Just a push-button game. They are frozen out of fear. That's why 40 years have passed. And I know that unless accidentally the war begins, Third World War is almost impossible. very close, any moment it can happen, but that will be just an accident. Some technological defect, some scientist getting nagged too much by his wife, some politician losing his power, his grip, some country wanting to have the attention of the whole world around, some crackpot somewhere, and there are so many crackpots. And most of them are in politics. Parts without cracks don't go towards politics. They have other useful things to do. A crack part is of no use. And that's why politics is the only profession in the world where no qualification is needed. Everybody is perfectly qualified. So much power is there now in the hands of the politicians that they themselves are afraid. They would like to win the war, but it is impossible. Both the parties are equally balanced. And the war is not going to be between two countries. The nuclear weapons will spread it all over the world. Perhaps within 24 hours, the whole life on the earth will disappear. This is frightening. That's why the war has not happened, and perhaps may not happen. But it is always very close. Anything can go wrong. Just I was talking to one journalist, and I was saying to him that you should not depend on machines, and now the whole war game is not between man and man. That is out of date. The whole war game is between technological nuclear weapons. Even the missiles which will carry the weapons will not have any pilots to them. There is no need. The missile itself can be programmed where to go, where to drop the bomb. I was saying to him that man has become so dependent on technological machines that anything can go wrong any moment. And when I said this, the electricity went off. The journalist has nothing to say anymore. The proof was there. I said, now we can move on another subject. This is finished. I understand that you are in a very difficult situation. You would love to live in peace, but peace seems to be flat. Nothing happening. You are almost in your grave. Not to be in such a dead state, you go on doing something or other, falling in a love affair, chasing a man or a woman, and then the whole drama of overpowering each other, of dominating each other, fighting, that too does not seem to be good. Every night the blow fight. It does not seem good. Excitement is there. Every husband coming back home is thinking of excuses why he is late, finding where he has been, what to say, what not to say, and the woman is figuring out, she has phoned all his friends' houses, she has collected all the information that she knows he will find excuses from. Yes, there is drama. You tell her that I have been with one of my friends and we had met after so long a time, and the woman laughs and she says, don't be stupid, your friend has been here. Now, I don't think your friend is a Jesus Christ who can be in two places simultaneously. You are caught. Every husband feels guilty. The woman is angry. He is trying to persuade her. At least all this drama and traumatic experiences keep you not falling into that space you call flat. But at what a cost? The peace is flat, the excitement is a torture. You are caught in a dilemma. The reason is you don't know what real peace is. Just not to fight, not to get involved again with another woman, not to go to the pub and drink too much and beat others and be beaten. You can avoid all these things. You can just close your rooms and sit inside, but you will not find peace. Because the question is not of the room and you, the question is your mind. Your mind is born out of the monkeys. Your mind is a monkey. Have you seen a monkey sitting silently? That will be a miracle. The monkey is always doing something or other, jumping from one tree to another tree in search of excitement. He is bored with peace. Even if you have not done anything, just look at the monkey. He will make faces at you. What he is doing? He is just trying to create some entertainment. He will start running after you. If you run, then he will enjoy it very much, great excitement. Although there is no point. If you stop and turn back, the monkey will go up the tree. He does not mean business. It was just a game. He was feeling flat. You were feeling flat. And it was a good game. Both became excited. Your mind is constantly seeking and searching for some involvement, some trouble, because the peace is really killing, poisonous. Let me repeat, it is not the peace of which I am talking about. That peace comes out of meditation. That peace comes out when you come out of your mind and become centered as a witness. Just watching the mind without any judgment, without any evaluation, without saying this is good, this is bad, this is really groovy. If you do such things, then you have already jumped and got identified with the monkey. The moment you say this is groovy, you cannot remain out. You are on the track again. You have simply a witness, like a mirror who gives no judgment. A beautiful woman, a Cleopatra, or Mother Teresa, it makes no difference. One journalist was asking me about Mother Teresa, and he said, "I am almost agreeing with you on all the points, but why you are against Mother Teresa? She is a beautiful woman. I have been with her." I asked him, "Are you ready to marry her? If she is really a beautiful woman?" And he was shocked. To think marrying Mother Teresa. Then he understood, it is not easy to use any word in front of me just like that, that she is a beautiful woman. Then he must have remembered her face. "Are you going to make love to the Nobel Prize?" "What you are going to do with that woman?" Then in his mind he must have understood that she is perfectly the type of woman which in the Middle Ages Christians were burning alive. Witches. She is exactly that type. I know her. I would rather prefer to remain in hell for eternity than to get married to Teresa the Terrible. But the most difficult thing in your life is, which should be really the most easy, to sit by the side of the flow of your mind. Your mind is just like a river. Thoughts and a crowd of thoughts goes on passing. You simply sit by the bank, unconcerned, just a witness, and you are for a great surprise. Slowly, as you become more and more centered and simply a witness, thoughts start disappearing. They can exist only with your identification. You give energy to your mind. When you pull yourself out, you have stopped giving nourishment to the mind. And once there is no nourishment, thoughts are very fragile things. They start dying out. Soon there is silence, there is peace. And this peace is not the peace of a cemetery. This peace is not dead, it is not flat. It is such a tremendous experience that once you have got on the first after rung of the ladder, the ladder goes to infinity. You can go on and on discovering new layers of peace. This is real excitement, unending excitement. That's the meaning of the word ecstasy, unending excitement. You cannot adjust it. You cannot come to a point where you say, there is no more to discover and I am feeling flat. It has never happened. On my own authority I say to you, I have been going as fast as possible deeper and deeper into silence, but there is no bottom. There is no limit, and each moment silence brings new fragrance, peace brings new flowers. Nothing is said, but much is heard. Nothing is sown, but much is seen. Nobody guides you, but some magnetic force of peace itself takes you farther and farther away from the mind, from the body, from the neighbors, from the wife, from the husband. And the excitement is continuously deepening. Unless we can create millions of people around the earth who have experienced this kind of peace, war is inevitable. Because people cannot survive flat lives. It is better to go into a war and have a little excitement. Although it means death, a man who has not known inner peace, if he is forced to live peacefully, either will murder or kill himself. Even that will provide some excitement. Excitement is something of a great nourishment, but only the right kind of excitement is nourishment. The wrong kind of excitement is poison. And up to now, the humanity has been dominated by the wrong kind of excitement. You are here with me to learn a very simple thing, to enjoy peace, to enjoy silence, to enjoy something that is within you. and you do not have to depend on others for it. Such a peaceful man radiates peace for others too. His silence starts touching other hearts too. His silence becomes oceanic and very inviting. That's what I'm doing here. Last night, a very nice juicy journalist was with me. And he was constantly asking me, why don't you go out in the world to teach people? Meditation, silence, or whatsoever you name it. It was difficult for him. That the well never goes to the thirsty. And remember, if the well goes towards the thirsty will escape. Seeing a well coming towards him, he will do anything but stand there where he was standing. He is thirsty, that is true, but that does not mean that wells have to come towards him. The well has to remain where he is. And what to say of an oceanic peace? The well is a small thing. You can miss it. You may not be able to find it. I am not a well. The whole world knows about this ocean. Few are friends of the ocean. Many are the enemies of the ocean, but on one point they all agree that the ocean is there. I told the journalist that I create friends, I create enemies, but I never create a person who can ignore me. I am not ignored. And there is no difficulty. The friend and the foe are just superficially different. The friend will reach me first. Sooner or later the foe will be following. He has already become connected with me, with his hate, with his hostility. He has already got married with me. It is only a question of time. He will be watching what is happening to those who are friends. It all depends on you. If you become peaceful, silent, loving, you will create everywhere a certain area of loving energy. People will start asking you, stopping in the street, what has happened to you? Something invisible, but very tangible. I am going to remain here. You are going to spread like waves in the ocean to the whole earth. I am not fighting against Third World War for the simple reason because there is only one way to fight it, and that is to create a peaceful humanity. A humanity which refuses to fight because now there is no excitement in fight. Now there is excitement in sitting silently, doing nothing, and let the grass grow by itself. You have found real, authentic excitement. Now, who cares to fight? Directly, I am not a pacifist. I am not taking protests, marches to Washington or Moscow. But I am creating and generating a force which can envelop the whole earth. And that will be the barrier against nuclear weapons, wars, and all kinds of stupidities. Just recognize your responsibility. Man was never required to be so responsible as he is required today, because upon him rests the whole thing, whether the earth is going to be alive, thriving, flowering, or it is going to be a dead planet.
Bhagwan, you have spoken many times on AIDS and on the Third World War, but never about both of them together. Do you think there is still a need for the Third World War, even if 2/3 of the world population is going to die a natural death of AIDS?
Certainly there is no need for Third World War. AIDS will do whatever the politicians want to be done by Third World War. But it is not in my hands. Politicians don't want to take any chance. They are every day piling up more and more nuclear weapons. And on the other hand, you will be surprised, every nation is trying to repress the information about AIDS. why every nation is trying to repress the information how many people are suffering from AIDS and how many people have been in contact with these people. They may not be confirmed, but they are all around and they will be spreading. Countries are afraid to declare that they have AIDS because it means they accept homosexuality. It means they accept all kinds of sexual perversions in their country, because AIDS is the climax of all perversions together. It is insulting to their ego. But they are not realizing the fact that if you repress the information about AIDS, it is going to spread faster. But perhaps they are not worried because they know anyway the Third World War is going to be there. AIDS are no AIDS. In the politician's mind, it seems that there is no way out anymore. They are geared towards the Third World War. Yes, it is a concern to me. Third World War can be easily avoided if people learn a little meditativeness. Then their whole excitement and support for war, democracy, communism, socialism, fascism, everything disappears. They are no more slaves of any government, any nation, any religion, any party. And a man who is meditative knows his inner peace and silence cannot be a perverted sex maniac. The experience of inner ecstasy is helpful in both the ways. On the one hand, it will make you normal human beings, not perverted in any way. Secondly, it will make you capable of creating small fields of energy which will go on spreading on their own. We have to cover the whole earth with a red blanket. That will be the barrier which cannot be broken by any nuclear weapons. But you are right. If AIDS goes on spreading the way it is spreading, it is not only through sexual intercourse that you can get AIDS, even by kissing, you can get AIDS. There are few tribes, old, ancient tribes living in the mountains, in the Himalayas, who seem to be far more advanced as far as kissing is concerned. They laugh at the whole idea. It is so unhygienic. In each kiss, both the partners are exchanging millions of cells to each other. You have heard the word kiss of death. Up to now it has been only a word. Now it is a reality. One journalist was asking me, then what do you suppose as a substitute? Because if we stop kissing, we will feel something is missing. I said, no, there is no need. Man is so inventive. You just rub noses with each other and you will enjoy more. These aboriginal tribes in Himalayas exactly do that. They don't kiss, they simply rub noses. But the journalist was more concerned about catching cold than about catching AIDS. And he said, what about if one partner has cold? I said, that is such a simple thing. At the most, you can catch cold. If you don't take any medicine, your cold will go in 7 days. If you take medicine, it will go in 1 week. There is no problem. And it is a show of affection, intimacy, love, that you are willing to rub noses with someone who has cold. But please avoid kissing. You don't know who has AIDS. Very few people are confirmed, because very few people go to the doctors, and those who can manage to bribe the doctors to keep the information secret, will know they have AIDS, will know that they cannot live more than 2 years. That is the maximum. Perhaps they will live 6 months, 8 months. Just think of a man. Put yourself in his position, whose doctor says him that you have AIDS and you don't have more than 2 years to live at the maximum. Most probably 6 months will do. Naturally, you don't want people to know that you have AIDS. Because it is so dehumiliating. AIDS simply means you are a homosexual. Perverted. So you are going to bribe the doctor that please keep your mouth shut. And there is no medicine for AIDS, so the doctor cannot be of any help. And about you, when you see that you have at the most 2 years, or perhaps only 6 months, you will try to make the best out of those 6 months. Make as many love, find as many partners as possible, because life is finishing. The people who have AIDS become more focused on sexuality because their whole life flame is going out any moment. Before it goes out, now they have nothing to lose, but they can give something, AIDS, to as many friends, lovers, as much as possible. And each person who comes in contact with these people will become a new source. Within 15 years, the world will be covered with people with AIDS, and it will be impossible to prevent it. So you are right that what is the need of the Third World War? The need is that the politicians don't want to take any chance. Who knows? Medical profession may come up with some medicine. Who knows that man may start building negative bodies to AIDS naturally in his body, because this is a challenge to his whole system. Everything is possible. The body does not want to die. It creates negative bodies for all kinds of sicknesses. AIDS is a new phenomenon. Our bodies are not yet fully acquainted with it, but perhaps the bodies will start creating antibodies to AIDS. So it is better the politicians think, let AIDS do its work. That is the work of God, the Father, who is in heaven, above the roof. And we should go on doing our own job of piling up nuclear weapons. So no chance is left. They are determined, it seems, that this planet Earth which is a rare planet. All the planets around you are dead. This is the only planet who is alive, with millions of species, animals, birds, insects, fish. Trees. All the planets around you are very poor. They don't have oceans, they don't have rivers, they don't have trees. They are just dead stone. Nothing grows there. And your politicians are determined to make this earth also the same. This is the greatest responsibility that man has ever faced. But remember, greater the responsibility, greater the challenge, greater is the possibility in you to come to your highest intelligence, potential, capabilities, creativity. So, on the one hand, it is a very sad picture. But on the other hand, never before humanity has faced such a challenge. Who knows? This challenge may give you guts enough to do things which you always wanted to do for many lives, but went on postponing. Now there is no way to postpone. Death is knocking on the doors. What do you want? Read the newspaper or do meditation? What do you want? Go on playing cards or do meditation? Man has to be made aware of the greatest challenge that is standing in front of us. Politicians are trying in both the AIDS and nuclear weapons should remain hidden. They are not declaring exactly how many nuclear weapons they have. All estimates are guesswork. And now they are trying to repress the disease AIDS. Their whole effort is that you are not allowed to become aware of the challenge, because the challenge can bring a transformation in the whole of human consciousness. I am insisting continuously on these two things, AIDS and nuclear weapons for the single reason that perhaps this is the moment when you would not like to remain asleep. This is the moment you would like to know something more, deeper than life and death itself. And that is the world of peace. And that belongs to you, just you have to claim it.
Bhagwan, as women, our natural creativity is expressed through the bearing and raising of children. What happens to that energy now that that area of expression is no longer viable?
Energy is always neutral. It has no program in it. It can save or it can mar. It can make or it can destroy. It is a great opportunity that is becoming available to women. That they are freed from the biological bondage. Of course, man has always praised them for their great creativity of children. But what kind of children you have produced? Just look around the world. These are your children. What creativity? All the animals are doing it, perhaps better than you. I have been in India, in many jungles and mountains. I have never seen any deer who is too fat are too thin. They are all alike. They are not like men. That one is thin and one is so fat and ugly. I have watched all kinds of animals in the wild. Nobody teaches them how to produce children. They don't have any schools, no maternity homes, no guidance from anybody. So don't take much pride that you can produce children. Yes, man has been giving women much juice about it, that you are a great creator because you give birth to a child. It was really very tricky of man. It meant that the woman should continue to create children. And in poor countries, it is still happening. One dozen children are not rare. More than one dozen also there are. I saw one woman who had 20 children. Now her whole life is wasted. Either she is pregnant or she is raising the children, and the child is not even 6 months old, she is pregnant again, she is doing double job. I know about a man who had uniforms for his children. I asked him that, what nonsense this is. Why you create uniforms for your children? He said, do you know how many children I have? 15. Without uniforms, I cannot recognize who is my child. So the uniform helps me in two ways. I have to take the children to the school, bring them back home. It helps me to recognize my children and sort them out. It also helps me that somebody else's child has not entered into my fold, and my child has gone with somebody else. I said, now it is time you should stop. 15 is too much. He said, it is God and His grace. I cannot go against God. He was a very religious Hindu. If God wants to give birth to more children, then who am I to prevent it? All the religions of the world are against birth control methods, the pill. They are against abortion. It means the woman remains biologically in bondage and her energies remain to create only mediocre people and crowds. To serve in the armies, navies, air force, to be killed, or to kill, at the most be clerks, nurses, porters. What do you mean by creativity? You have created a porter. Do you feel how much pride it can give to you? Every parent should feel ashamed. You are creating like animals. Science has given you a chance today to get out of the bondage of biology, a great freedom that sex becomes for the first time not a biological reproductive methods, it becomes sheer play, joy. You are asking me that if women's energies are not poured in creating children, then what will happen to those energies? Why cannot you start singing, dancing, playing on guitars? Why don't you start? There are thousands of ways to make this world more beautiful. Anything that makes the world more beautiful is creative. Landscape the garden around your house. Cross-breed plants bring new flowers that have never existed before. And of course, they will give new fragrances which the earth has never experienced. And compete with men in every field. Prove it to him, not by women's liberation movement, that you are equal. Prove by our actions that you are equal, perhaps superior. Women's liberation movement is just idiotic. Few women will gather and just create anger and hatred against men. And they will all smoke continuously, drink, and they all will become lesbians because they hate men. They cannot love men. They can only love women. It is such a perversion. A woman loving another woman I cannot conceive the idea. A man loving another man and not even ordinary average people. One of the popes before this pope was a homosexual. He was a bishop in Milan before he became pope. The whole Milan knew it because he was always hanging around with his boyfriend. And when he became pope and went to Vatican, the boyfriend went there as a secretary to the pope. And you know, secretaries are just an escape from your wife, a refuge from your wife. If the Pope is homosexual and popes are infallible, it creates great suspicion, because Jesus was also hanging with 12 boys. It may be something coming down from Jesus himself. Monks are well-known homosexuals. Nuns are lesbians. But they are out of necessity. The monks have to live together in a monastery. The nuns have to live in a nunnery separate. They cannot meet. Naturally, their sexuality starts taking some other forms. And I think it is intelligent. It is not unintelligent. If you cannot get the food you like, then you have to like the food you get. This is simple intelligence. In jungles, animals are never homosexuals. Never. But in zoos, they become homosexuals. When I came to know about this, then I started being really concerned about humanity. Is it a zoo? This women's liberation movement has turned only women lesbians. It has created hate towards men. But this is not going to give you equality. Equality has to be earned. It has to be deserved. So when the pill has released you from the bondage of biology, now you are free to use your energy. And the woman has a more delicate body, more flexible body. She can become a better dancer than any man can ever manage. The man, however trained, is stiff. It is not his fault. His physiology is stiff. The woman can manage to have the best dancers in the world. The woman has great imagination. But her imagination has remained confined to the home. The reason was children. Children kept her in the home. And for millions of years, so it became almost a second nature. Otherwise, I don't see that there is any natural necessity for women to confine her imagination within the walls of her home. The stars belong to her as much as to any other man. The sunrise and sunset, they are also her possessions. She had to spread her wings, her consciousness. She has to widen her vision, imagination, dreaming, beyond children. Right now, the woman goes on thinking about the child, that he should become a doctor, he should become an engineer, he should become this and that. Now woman has to become what she used to project through the child. Become a doctor, become an engineer, become a pilot. What you imagined through the child, why not directly encounter reality and be yourself what you wanted your child to be? And I don't see there is any problem. Women are in many ways superior to men, and their superiority can be used for new dimensions of creativity. An experienced mother knows that in her womb, whether there is a boy or a girl, how she comes to know? Because the boy starts kicking and the girl never does that. The girl remains more centered. The boy is already freaking out. And you can see in children, girls will be sitting with their dolls in a corner, silently enjoying their game. Boys will be creating all kinds of nuisance all over the neighborhood. What man has created is nothing if the woman comes into the field with her centeredness, with her roundedness, with her contentment, with her love. So move in any direction that feels fulfilling to you. The day women start creating all kinds of things that man has been doing up to now, I say to you, there is no need to ask for equality, because women are superior sex. Naturally, because nature has made women to create children. Man's function in creating children is negligible. Any syringe can do what he is doing. Just a plastic syringe. Use it and throw it. Women are more resistant to diseases. Girls, from the very beginning, nature has an immense balancing power. If 100 girls are born, then 115 boys are born. Because by the time they reach to the marriageable age, 15 boys would have disappeared. They are weaker. Any sickness, any disease. But those 100 girls will be there. So by the marriageable time, the balance is equal. Those 15 extras are gone. If nature was producing exactly the same number of girls and boys, there would have been great difficulty. Soon the population of women would have gone far away than the population of men. But nature has its own ways of balancing. Knowing that man has a very weaker body, in the sense that it cannot resist and fight with sickness, it creates 15 extras. The woman lives longer than men, 5 years longer, in every country, in every race. And the woman suffers so much. Still, she survives. Man cannot survive so much suffering as woman manages to. So don't be worried about your energies. You have more energy than man. Man started suppressing women only because he felt inferior. His inferiority complex was the cause to force women to become inferior so he can cover up his wound and feel superior. It is stupid. And now, because biology is no more powerful over women, don't waste your energy in being a lesbian. This is time for you to be creative in every field, and you will be able to have your Picassos, your Mozarts, your Van Goghs, your Shakespeares. There is no reason why not. perhaps a little better, a little more softer. Your sculpture is going to be certainly more alive. There is only one thing in which you will find yourself not equal to men. And please remember, don't try to be equal in that one area. That is muscles. Let men be superior as far as muscles are concerned. Because if women start going to gymnasiums and creating muscular bodies, that will be the worst day in the history of humanity. Just closing my eyes, and when I see here thousands of muscular women sitting, I am not going to come tomorrow again. And the tendency is there to imitate. You know, man has imitated you. Otherwise, what is the need to shave his beard and his mustache? He wants to look as beautiful as woman, but he forgets completely that to a woman, a man with a beautiful beard and mustache looks more beautiful. He is thinking from man's side. The woman looks beautiful. Just think in other ways. A woman grows beard and mustache. Do you think she is going to find a man to chase her? But that's what man has done. Imitating. Simple argument, but without understanding. He feels that the woman is beautiful, and it is so easy to remove the mustache and the beard. So why not be as beautiful as woman, forgetting the fact that for the woman, you are losing much attraction. Just look at my beard. I don't think any of my sannyasins would like my beard to be shaved. Perhaps many of my women sannyasins are here because of my grey beard. And anyway, whether I am saved spiritually or not, I am not going to save my beard.
Bhagwan.
In a recent interview, I asked an Italian philosopher whether the American-Russian summit about nuclear weapons will ever come to an agreement. He said, when two contenders are trying to screw each other, they will never come to any conclusion. And added that what is missing is a third party, something above the two contenders, a religious authority like there was in the past to arbitrate the question. But in these days, there is nothing like this. Unfortunately, nobody will listen to the Pope at all. If you were the authority for one day, the third party above all, what would you say to Russia and America?
The first thing I don't agree with the idea that these two contending parties, Soviet Union and Russia, are not going to come to an agreement. They are bound to come to an agreement because the forces are equal and war is meaningless. The only meaning of war is if someone becomes victorious and someone is defeated. That's how wars have been always. But if a war is going to destroy the whole globe, and both the forces are equally balanced, and both the forces are aware of the fact that after the war there will be nobody even to write the history who won in the war, who was defeated in the war. Both the contenders will disappear. This fact is preventing them to a clash, and this fact will be becoming more and more powerful because they both are piling up more and more nuclear weapons. The more nuclear weapons are there, the less is the possibility of a third world war. So first, I do not agree that they are not capable of coming to an agreement. In fact, without saying, the agreement is already there. One thing both the parties know, that war is going to destroy all. War, for the first time in the history, has become meaningless. So what the Italian philosopher suggested is wrong. Secondly, he suggested that there is needed someone, a third party more powerful than both, then there is a possibility of agreement. But the third party, if it is more powerful than both, why should it bother about their agreement? It should rule over both. What is the point of their agreement or non-agreement? If China becomes the third party, more powerful than both, then certainly China will rule over Russia and America. In the world of politics, might is right. So on that point also he is wrong. And on the third point, that if the third party is religious, as it was in the past, a pope. But in the past, do you think wars were not happening? Popes themselves were involved in wars, crusades against the heretics, non-Christians, Mohammedans, Jews. The whole history of the popes is the history of bloodshed, burning people alive, destroying cities, putting cities on fire. Which pope has been able to prevent a war? And you say, unfortunately, nobody listens to pope. Say, fortunately, nobody listens to pope. And lastly, you ask me if I am given a chance of one day. What kind of agreement I would like to have between Soviet Union and Russia? One day is too big. I need not that much work. And I don't think I cannot manage it just within 1.5 hours. It is so simple. Just take all their nuclear weapons and drown them in the Pacific Ocean. Whoever named it Pacific, perhaps, was thinking of this time that one day Pacific will bring peace. There is no need for any agreement. Just take all their nuclear weapons, and that easily, within 1.5 hour, I can order drown your nuclear weapons into the Pacific. And as far as little wars are concerned, you can go on playing the games, there is no problem. Man needs once in a while, till the whole humanity becomes meditative, he will need. So, with old methods, the methods that were used before First World War, you can continue. You can play the game. It is just football. It is not much of a problem. To me, it is so simple. There is no need for any agreement, and agreement is not possible. And you are giving me only 24 hours. An agreement between communism and capitalism, between 24 hours, is impossible. It is not possible even in 24 centuries. So what I will do, I don't care about their agreement and why they should agree. If Russia feels good with communism, let them feel good. They have the right. If America feels good with capitalism, let them enjoy capitalism. There is nothing wrong in it. But one thing I will do immediately and quickly, destroy their nuclear weapons. And you have castrated both. Have you seen a bull and have you watched? You cannot force the bull to carry your cart. First you have to castrate him. And the castrated bull is no more the same animal. In India, the bull is worshipped as a symbol of the Lord Shiva. So many bulls are donated to the temples of Shiva by the devotees. Those bulls are really worth seeing. Their strength, their pride, the way they walk, particularly in Banaras, which is the city of the Lord Shiva, he founded it. According to Hindu mythology, Banaras is the oldest city in the world. And it looks right. It is so rotten. It must be the oldest. But the greatest joy in Banaras is to see the bulls. They will be resting in the middle of the street. You go on honking your horn, and the bull will not even look at you. The question of his going away does not arise. And don't disturb him, because he is powerful enough to upturn your car and kill you. But after castration, the same bull goes on carrying your bullock carts. So what I will do, and that is a simple operation, I will castrate America and Russia. And the castration means take all their nuclear weapons away from them. Throw them in the Pacific and close the Pacific for any ships to move, because that can be dangerous. Although the Pacific is 5 miles deep, but in any incident, in any accident, if a ship drowns and hits a nuclear weapon, and there will be explosion immediately. So close Pacific for travelers. And that I can do within 1.5 hours. And more I don't want because of my bladder. Okay?